that I saw today that was a blessing to me, and I think it'll be a blessing to you, having to do with Thanksgiving, although that word doesn't appear in this passage. Luke chapter 10. Before we read there, I want to read a couple of other verses to you. You remember in Romans chapter 1, the emphasis in Romans chapter 1 is that men were made aware of God through creation, but they did not want that. The Bible says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and their foolish heart was darkened. And there's accountability described in Romans chapter 1. But there's an interesting statement in verse 21 of that chapter. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And then these next three words, neither were thankful. We ought to be thankful, amen? Now, that's just talking about the population of the world as a whole. When people realize who God is, they ought to be thankful. One of the sins of atheism, one of the sins of not acknowledging God, is not being thankful. Being thankful, folks, He created us, amen? And being thankful, He sent His Son to die and pay for our sins. And He's a God of mercy and a God of grace and a God of goodness. And there's so, I think the devil has a occupies a great majority of his time trying to convince people that God is not good. Folks, God is very good. And we ought to be thankful for that. They were not thankful. Psalm 140 in verse 13 says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Now, without turning there and looking at the context, you need to understand, the reason he says surely is explained in the previous couple of verses is because of what God is doing and is going to do for His people. That there is no doubt we will have things to thank God for. So I came to Luke chapter 10, and the Lord just laid this verse on my heart. Actually, I'll read a couple of verses to you, but it's really verse 20 that I wanted to show you. But let's begin reading, and let me tell you what's happening here before we do. The Lord sent out the 70, and the 70 were sent out to preach the gospel to the people of Israel, and they came back after having done so. And in verse 17 of Luke chapter 10, it says, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, there is thankfulness there. It just doesn't use the word, but what they're saying is, in our vernacular, we would have said, this is great. We have power to serve you, and it is exciting to have power to serve God. And by the way, our power is in this book. Amen? This book has power. You're going to see the world judged by this book one day. That's how powerful it is. But they said, when we cast out demons, they leave. They, because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have power. And they were excited about that. We get excited about situations, don't we? Circumstances. I tell you, on a Sunday morning, when someone gets saved, I get excited. On a Sunday, when someone comes and joins the church, I get excited. I like to see things happen and see God's power demonstrated. I cannot wait until we see somebody saved and baptized in that baptistry. It could happen next weekend for all we know. But we're looking forward to what God's going to do. And those circumstantial things we tend to look at and get excited about. But look what happens as he goes on. It says in verse 18, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, you might ask yourself, why did he say that? First of all, he had a reason. Amen? The Bible doesn't just throw a verse in. I think the connection there is rather obvious. The Lord has power over the devil. It shouldn't surprise us that God has power over the devil. And so, of course, the demons responded because he saw the power exhibited in Satan's being cast out of heaven. Now look at verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now that sounds good. It's like there's a spiritual armor there, and again, something to be excited about. But in all these things that we've just seen, that's not the most exciting. That's not the one that we should be the most thankful for. Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Do you see that? Because your names are written in heaven. You know, thanksgiving is looking at the things that God has done rather than what he hasn't done. And what's the greatest thing God ever did for you and I? He saved our soul. And you cannot lose that. Amen? Nobody can take that away from you. The devil can't take it away. You can't throw it away yourself. There's no way that you can lose that salvation. If it was not, if you got eternal life and then you lost it, it wasn't very eternal, was it? And I stop sometimes and I look at the things that didn't go the way I wanted, or the things that I didn't get that I hoped to get, or the things that didn't happen that I wanted to happen. And when I look at the didn'ts or the things that I lost and I focus on that, I'm looking at the wrong thing. There's a story, and I'm going to kind of cheat and adjust it a little bit, but this fellow was riding a horse across the west, and the Indians began to chase him. And the chase went on for quite a long time, and he got far enough ahead of the Indians he could stop and rest, but he knew they were just right there. And he stopped at this creek to give his horse some water. And he looked down, and there were all these gold nuggets right there on the ground in the creek bed. I mean, they were everywhere. And he's thinking, there's a fortune right here. And I wish I could stay and mine this, but the Indians are coming. And so quickly he grabbed as many of them as he could and put them in his pockets and hopped back on the horse and kept on riding. And then after he escaped and he got back to civilization, he was grieving over the fact that he didn't remember where it was, he couldn't go back there, and that he didn't get more of the nuggets. That's the wrong attitude, folks. Be thankful you found anything at all, amen? Watch, because here's what happens. We look at the things that we, okay, for example, we would like to see God do great things when we go door to door. We would like to, every time we go door to door, we would like to see somebody get saved, or four or five for that matter. Some days we don't find anybody that gets saved. But praise God for the ones that did get saved, amen? In your family, in your life. In my family, personal illustration, a little painful, but just a thought. I've got four children. Three of them are in God's will right now, and one's not. I'd like to have all four in God's will. I haven't given up yet. God can deal with that fourth child. But I should be thankful for the three that I've got that are in God's will. Amen? I mean, that's the way to look at it. You look at anything in your life, be thankful for the things that God gave you and start at the top. If I never got anything except salvation, I'm doing really good. Because, folks, be absent from the body is present with the Lord. Thank the Lord for what he has done. Look at what God has done, not what he hasn't done. Here's a few reasons for thanksgiving. I'm only going to spend about 5 minutes or so. We won't be long. God has done many wonderful things for and with us. And folks, we ought to be thankful. In the first place, and I looked some scriptures up, but I won't read them to you for the sake of time. It's a command. And then there are all sorts of reasons in the Bible to be thankful. But just in practical, just general practice. Think about it this way. When someone takes you out to dinner, at least you should say thank you. I did, over the course of years, I did something very, very kind for somebody. In fact, I really did some things for them that nobody else could have done. And the thing that really disturbed me the most, I was glad to do it. I didn't do it expecting anything. But I would have thought somewhere along the way they would have said thank you. And when folks don't say thank you, it just kind of leaves a void there, doesn't it? Now, let me ask you this. When is the last time that you and I focused on thanking God? Not just, Lord, thank you for blessing me, But thank God for the details. Amen? God does detailed things in our life. We pray every Wednesday, Lord, send a visitor to our church. The next Wednesday we should say, Lord, thank you for sending a visitor to our church. And we do. We pray, Lord, as we go soul winning, Lord, we'd like to see a soul saved today. And then the day, some days when a soul gets saved, Lord, thank you for a soul being saved. Make sure that you are thankful. Here's some benefits of that. In looking at what God has done, it gives us joy. That's how I go back to Luke chapter 10 and in verse 17, they returned again with joy. When you see what God does, it gives you joy. If you look at your desires and your sadness and your grief and the things you didn't get, that doesn't bring you joy. And I can tie this together. The Bible says, rejoice always. Amen? So we should be thankful. When we're thankful, when I stop and I think of what God did, it gives me joy. Folks, why do you have what you have? Why do you have your families? We heard a lot about families tonight. Why do you have a church? Why do you have your salvation? Why do you have your health? Why do you have the possessions God's given you? Why do you have access to the medical care? I don't know if you understand it or not. It's good that we have that technology, and praise God for that. But we're one of the few places on earth where you can get access to it. I talked to some of the missionaries in the third world countries. My friend Mike in Thailand, he was riding his motor scooter down the street, and a car pulled out in front of him, and he got knocked off the motorcycle, and he dislocated his shoulder. And so they took him to a hospital, and he stayed there about an hour, and he finally realized, I don't want to be treated by these people, and I don't want to be treated in this hospital. And he got a taxi and went to a better hospital, finally found a place where they could treat him. But folks, there are people in the world that don't have access to what we have access to. We'll be thankful for those kind of things. It causes us joy to realize what God's done for us. Just a few more. It revives, it strengthens our dependence on Him and His goodness. Folks, God is good. And He does not need a group of cheerleaders to prove that. God is good. But let's cheer for Him, amen? Let's give Him thanks. And let's let folks know God is good. If God's people don't give thanks, who can? I mean, of all the people in the world that should be thankful, we should be thankful for His salvation, for His blessings. And when I start to, we used to do this with the children on Thanksgiving Day. If you want to give your kids a little bit of an exercise in Thanksgiving, have them sit down on Thanksgiving Day and write down things they're thankful for. And what did we do, Stephanie? Did we do that at mealtime to make you guys wait to eat or something? I forgot now. I was a little bit mean when I was a dad, I guess. But anyway, there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Stop and think about that. And after a while, if you really think about what you have to be thankful for, you'll realize how selfish you are. We spend too much time wanting and not enough time thanking God for what we have and for what He's done for us. It revives our dependence on Him and His goodness. When I see all the things God has done, it reminds me of how good He is. And folks, just in case I forget to tell you, if God was good to you yesterday, and if God is good to you today, why on earth do we think He's not going to be good to us tomorrow? Amen? I mean, He has proven Himself to us. So now we have hope, don't we? We have hope in the goodness of God because of thankfulness. It restores our confidence in His goodness. It helps us to be content with such things as we have. When you look at all the things that you have, you say, Pastor, I don't have very much. Well, you have life. Some folks died in these last few days, and they stepped off into eternity. Now, you have salvation. Everyone here, near as I can tell, is going to be able to get up tomorrow and have a nice meal. And we have provision. We have homes to go to. We have friends to be with. We have so many things to be thankful for. Folks, it just restores our confidence in God's goodness, and it helps us to be content with what we have. It increases our acceptance of God's will. We can trust God with what He has done for us, and we can trust Him with what He hasn't done. You have an unanswered prayer request? God knows. Amen? I don't have time to develop the thought, but you have prayed for something. I have prayed for things in the past, and God never answered. And I may not know why, but I know God did what was right. God always does what's right. Thanksgiving gives us hope for the future. Thanksgiving shifts our outlook from pessimism to optimism. Thanksgiving makes us look up instead of looking down. It's just a simple fact of looking at what God has done for us, His goodness to us, and saying to ourselves, just like these fellows, they said, "Look, Lord, look what you've done for us." And He said, "Yes, but the most important thing to remember is your names are written in heaven. You have a salvation. You have a God that loved you so much that He gave His Son to die and pay for your sins. And if He loves you that much while you were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly, how much more do you think He loves you now?" So Thanksgiving just brings our heart back in tune with what God has done. And I'll be the first to admit, I need more of that. Amen? I think we all do. Just read you a couple of verses or give you a couple of thoughts and we'll be done. Ephesians 5:20. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 7 times in the Bible that says He is good, His mercy endures forever. His works, His holiness, the Bible, how He's changed us, all these things are things we can thank Him for. I encourage you, not just tonight, but tomorrow, perhaps at the table, perhaps with your family, somewhere along the way, pause quietly and patiently and thank God for how good He is to you. Amen? And it just lifts your spirits to realize how good God is. We spend too much time looking at what God didn't do, forgetting all the great things God has done, and then not remembering the things He hasn't done. Folks, He has a plan. Amen? Let's stand and we